Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, time to get real, and welcome everyone to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and I am excited as usual about the show today. I want to welcome you all. I really appreciate and I am grateful for you taking time to listen to Reality Spirituality. I really, really am. That's coming from the bottom of my heart. And I was just feeling my son's song. You know, he wrote that intro for me, oh, gee, almost more than 2 years ago. And I don't care if I hear it a million times. It just makes me smile. It puts me in the mood for this show, Reality Spirituality, which I am going to explain for my new listeners just what the hell is Reality Spirituality? What kind of show is it? Reality Spirituality is not a religion. It's a show about it's about living connected, living plugged in, living hand in hand with the universe. I say universe. Some people use the word source energy, higher power, God. I use the term universe. And what I mean is living connected, plugged in to that energy, setting your personal temperature gauge, to universe. And when I live connected, I find that everything that happens to me, circumstances, events, people, what they say, don't say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because I have this internal temperature gauge set to the universe, which all I can do is flow. All I can do is surrender. All I can do is trust and know that everything is in perfect order. Everything. In fact, I have no control of anything other than my perspective, my attitude, resist or flow. Those are the choices that I have. I have no other choices to make. And there is nothing I should do. It's just what I'm inspired to do. So one of my favorite quotes, and I say it all the time on the show, I probably say it more than once, is, this is from Abraham, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. So Reality Spirituality shares tools, strategies, different ways to flow on this journey we call life, staying connected regardless of what happens. And today we have a guest, and let me just... You know what? It's so interesting the way the universe works too. Because 3 months ago, maybe a little bit less, I never heard of this Karen Pearson ever. But we have a mutual friend, and you know, listen, the universe is illogical and has its own time schedule, its own timetable. I have no control over it. And so the universe always has been connecting me with like-minded energies, I like to say. And so Karen Pearson is a licensed clinical professional counselor with 28 years experience helping others achieve their personal goals of health, wellness, and success. Karen is a certified fitness and boot camp instructor. And guess what, audience? I used to teach boot camp for, geez, how many, maybe 25 years. And have and Karen, let's get back to Karen, a boot camp instructor, and has taught at the graduate level at Montana State University. One of the reasons why I want her on the show, other than the like-minded energy, is I was on her Facebook page, and she is putting together a seminar, a motivational seminar, and listen to the title of this: The World Needs You Now, Not When You're Perfect. Are you feeling that? Karen, welcome to Reality Spirituality. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So, where do we begin? let's begin at the beginning. That's a good spot. We all have an individual journey, an individual path. When did you want to do something different? When did you feel like you wanted a shift in your behavior? What happened? What was the shift?
It's interesting because I think it's been something. I think it's been a path my entire life. I think my awareness of it probably happened more 8 or 9 years ago as I started to explore more of the New Age and the metaphysical and getting better understanding of all of the things that had happened throughout my life, all of the, quote, coincidences that had happened that really aren't, all of the things that the universe made happen that were supposed to happen exactly when they happened. And so I just had the opportunity to start learning more about it, which just helped me take my ability to help people to a higher level. It gave me that opportunity to help them really focus and dial in on how do I move forward with my life and not just stay stuck where I am and keep going over the same things again and again and again, but really help them learn how to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one of the things I do on this show is really talk about our personal journey, because everyone's journey is different. And so I would like to know when you said, and I agree with you totally, when you said it started from the beginning, but then you started becoming more aware of it. That's what I want to know. When did you start becoming aware of it, and what was going on in your life? There's a power that like is nudging me, you know, with the elbow. Come on, wake up, mm-hmm. wake up. So when was that for you?
You know, I look back and I look at the individual counseling and the private counseling that I used to do, and I would kind of go off on these tangents. And I would sit back afterwards and I would go, that didn't come from me. That was not me. And it was like, okay, I said everything that the universe wanted me to say. And I just never questioned it for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, about 8 or 9 years ago, I was introduced to a friend, and she was very much into more of the New Age, and she taught me a lot. And I started reading Conversations with God from Neil Donald Walsh.
Yeah.
And it was
mm-hmm.
like everything that I had ever had a question about finally made sense. And I thought, well, this is pretty cool. So then this friend comes into my life, and she introduced me to so many different people who were like-minded, and probably the connection that she helped me make was how much I love working with the angels. That is really a connection for me, and it's something that has helped me through so many different things. Life is always busy. Things are going on in your world, and it all can be very hectic. But every time I have the opportunity to just be calm and sit and listen, those are the things that help me get through my day-to-day life, whether there's a circumstance or a tragedy or I'm just tired for the day. It's my belief that I do have that connection to the universe and the angels, those are the things that get me through. So then she gave me the opportunity to, I mean, I have had a tremendous opportunity to be exposed to so many things. We have a wonderful woman down in Wyoming who does works with crystals. And mm-hmm. she came up here one day, and we got to work with crystals, and I learned a lot about those. And all of the things for me was looking at all of the New Age things that exist and the ones that give me peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all of the listeners and all of the people that I talk to, and I share, you know, how the angels, crystals, different things like that make me peaceful. I always encourage people to find the things that give them peace, because all of the things that exist out there are not going to necessarily reach out and touch everybody. But for me, the things that have helped me get through times in my life and have helped me on my journey is that connection with the universe, the connection with the angels.
You know, I love what you said, and you're 100% correct, because one of the things I share on this show is we are as different as our fingerprints. And not only are we different as our fingerprints, this, of course, is my opinion, and of course, that's the only one that matters because it's my show, but thank you. Not only are we as different as our fingerprints, but I've come to the conclusion that nobody's speaking my language. The way that I define a certain word, someone else might have a different feel about it, a different take on it. I remember talking to someone, it was this week, I was interviewed and I was telling them that I had to surrender, and the interviewer told me, she says, well, surrender is a word that means blank, blank, blank. The word that you want is submit. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, because, you know, listen, I've done a lot of work on myself and accepting her definition. So I don't even think we speak the same language. So what you said about this, the angels and the crystals work for you, and it could work for millions of people also. But I love that you made that distinction, and I love that. So because there's some people that are that are listening to this call don't know what the hell we're talking about when we say angels. So explain angels for you. What are your experiences?
My experiences with angels are very far reaching, and it started with reading books by Doreen Virtue. I love her angel books and all of those. And I was reading in one of them one day, and it was talking about Archangel Michael. And I'm just sitting on the couch, and I'm reading this section in her book, and it really spoke to me. And so I just sat there, and I closed my eyes, and it was just very, very peaceful for a moment. And it was explaining how Archangel Michael, you know, he's the big angel, the powerful angel, big wings. And I thought, okay, let's just have this experience. And I had an amazing energetic experience of just feeling such a large presence in the room with me. And it was so calm and so peaceful and just gave me such happiness.
Mm.
So that was the beginning of it. And probably the most powerful experience that I got to have pertaining to the angels is, let me back up for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
To me, angels exist. You have the archangels. We all have guardian angels, and we all have deceased loved ones. We have all of these amazing spirits and energies that exist with us, for us, never leave us, and are just always present. We're the ones who disconnect. And so they're there anytime we want them there. So
mm-hmm.
I remember a time when my son was about 6 years old, and we were on vacation, and he was just having a rough day. And I said, do you need a little bit of mama time? And he said yes. And we went upstairs to the house where we were staying, and we lay down on the bed, and I said, what's going on? And he says, well, said, it just feels like someone took all the love out of my heart. And I thought, okay, he's 6 years old. This is amazing.
Oh.
So he laid there, and he had his head on my chest, and I said, well, I said, we could ask the angels to put the love back in your heart. And he goes, okay. He goes, will you do the talking?
Uh-huh.
And I said, sure. And so I did, and we laid there for a few minutes, and he looks up, and he says to me, he goes, well, Mom, should I let him do it? And I said, that's up to you. And he said, okay. And he laid down for a minute, and then he rolled over on his back, and he opened both of his arms wide, and he laid there for probably 2 minutes. And then he rolled back over on my chest, and he goes, they're done. And we laid there and laid there for a few minutes, and all of a sudden he pushes up, and he goes, Mama, do you hear that? And I said, hear what? And he goes, the angels that put the love back in my heart are singing. Isn't it beautiful? And I said, oh, baby, I bet it is. And he rolled over and went to sleep for about 2 hours. I have never questioned the presence of any kind of a spiritual guide or angel since that day.
You know, I'm sitting here looking out towards the mountains in Southern California. My mouth is hanging open for more than one reason. Of course, what a beautiful, beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that intimate story. And, you know, like I said, everybody's got their own journey. My only son is experiencing all of this at this age, and he's 28. So at 6 years old, I had no clue, no mindset, no type of enlightenment at all. I mean, as far as where I am now, and I'm just so grateful that you're sharing. And number two, wow,
it was
wow. Yeah, and so see, everybody comes. Everybody gets to, everybody's where they're supposed to be. There's no mistakes. And
right.
Just know that what I would say to anyone listening is open your arms on your back and just say, guide me, help me, show me. And it's, you don't, you know, it's just that simple. It really is.
It is that simple. And it doesn't have to be, some big dramatic expression or some very formal sit at a right angle and hold your hands in a particular way. It's just have a conversation. Just make the connection. You can make the connection when you're doing a burpee, or you can make the connection when you're sitting at dinner or laying quietly in your bed before you go to sleep at night. It doesn't have to be formal.
That's right. I love that note. You don't have to sit and meditate for a certain amount of time, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, looking at the stars, point your head to the left, 90 degrees. No, it's very, very simple, and it's very easy, very casual. I thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
Wow. So how old is your son now?
He's 14.
Oh, is he the only one?
He is. He is.
So is mine. Okay, back to the show. We can do our mommy thing forever. Back to the show.
Exactly.
Yeah, please, come on. Don't get me started. So it sounds like, let me go back to you. What have been some of your biggest, or maybe the top one, two, or three challenges in your life, personal challenges in your life, if you'd like to share, and you have to share? Go.
You know,
because no one's
right
listening.
Now I would say health and fitness was a big one.
Mm.
My father passed away about 2.5 years ago, and, I mean, it was a wonderful thing for him. He was out of pain, all of those things. My mother died about 22 years ago from heart problems. My dad had heart problems. And about a month, 2 months after he died, I had a little episode of tachycardia, like as in my heart rate was 280
mm-hmm.
or probably 45 minutes or so. And I had a friend that I was with, and I finally looked at her and I said, this is really starting to hurt. I think we should probably go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove about a block, and I felt a big thump in my chest, and everything was back to normal. And then I knew that it was more anxiety and it was more panic. So I called my doctor. We ordered the stress test. You know, we did everything. And the heart doctor comes in and he says, you know, I mean, I reached my target heart rate in, oh, like 3 minutes. And I'm like, is that good? And they're like, no.
Mm-hmm.
You are what's considered skinny fat. And I said, okay. And they said,
okay,
well,
wait, back up. You're skinny fat?
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
I looked like a healthy person, but I wasn't.
Mm.
Because I didn't exercise, I didn't work out, I didn't do any of that stuff. And so I knew that if I wanted to live a long, healthy life, I needed to take a journey of fitness. And the thought of that, yeah, no, that did not sound like fun at all, because seriously, I had never really worked out in my life, paid plenty of gym memberships that I never took part in, took mm-hmm. aerobics for like 2 weeks in the 80s, you know, that kind of stuff. So I knew I needed to be healthy. I knew I needed to be heart healthy. And I am someone who, if there's anybody listening who knows me, I am going nonstop. I always have things that I'm involved in. I'm always having projects that I work on. I usually work 3 or 4 jobs at a time. I just go. I want to try everything I want to try. And so I knew that if I didn't get healthy, I wasn't going to be able to continue to do these things. But also doing that many things all the time also prevented me from being connected to me. And so,
yeah, I've got so many. Okay, keep going, because, yep, you,
mm-hmm.
big point. Keep going.
Right. You know, you stay busy and you're interacting with people and you're doing all of these things and you don't stop to take care of you or look at you or even really acknowledge you in any way. So when I started on this journey, I was introduced, not by coincidence, to someone who owned a boot camp here in town. And I started going to the boot camp, and I told her, I said, I am what is called a competitive sitter. And she still laughs about that to this day. And I'm telling you, my heart would race. I was so incredibly out of shape, but I thought, I have to do this for me. And staying with a workout regimen, I kid you not, Rebecca, is the hardest thing I have ever done in my entire life, to commit to it and stick to it. And not give a reason that, oh, I needed to go help a client, or, oh, I needed to work, or, oh, I needed to go do something for someone else. That has probably been the greatest experience of the journey, is really recognizing that it is crucial for every person to carve out time for themselves and not bend. And I, short of being sick or out of town, did not miss boot camp. And then about 2 months later, I discovered that we had a Bikram yoga studio here in Billings. And I thought, holy cow, Billings got hot yoga. And I started going there. And that is where the mental component matched the physical. I got all the physical and the strength and all of that at the boot camp. And the hot yoga, about 5 months into that, I had my very first experience where I sat quiet for 90 minutes in my head and just focused on what I was doing. And that was such an incredible turning point for me to recognize that I finally had a place where I could go quiet my mind, and that helped me be stronger. And so all of these goals and dreams and the 5 jobs or whatever it was that I was working on, I discovered none of that mattered if I wasn't balanced inside of me.
Mm.
And so putting that balance together is what started me on this concept of the world needs you now, not when you're perfect. Just start. Just do something, but be peaceful inside, and then things will fall into place.
I love everything that you said. Let's get back to a couple of things. In this lab, the last thing you said, be peaceful inside. That's what, you know, everybody says, okay, that sounds great. Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you do that? How do you do that? But let's back up to the exercising. I've been teaching exercise for, over 30 years. And 25 mm-hmm. years of it was hardcore boot camp. And what I discovered is there are, there are four types of people. I used to say three types of people for years. And now I just discovered someone else told me why she exercises. Four types of people that exercise. Number one, the person that loves to exercise, they get a high exercising and they can't live without it. It's just part of who they are. Number two, the type of person, the person that really hates exercise, but they know that it's good for them, and so they do it. They're that disciplined because they know that it's good for them, and it sounds like that's what you were describing. I don't know. And the third type is the person that just doesn't like to exercise at all, regardless, doesn't like it. And then the fourth type that I just discovered this week, she said to me, well, I only exercise so I can eat and drink pizza and beer and pizza and tequila, which, listen, I understand what she's talking about. I'm the third type. I hate exercising. I hate it. Even though I've been teaching for 30 years, the only reason why I exercise is because I get paid to. Not only that, but more than just getting paid to, I love challenging other people. I love being... It's my stage for me. It is
right
an experience, and I love that. But you said that that's the hardest thing that you've had to overcome in your life is this discipline regimen of exercising. And the hardest thing that I've had to do in my life is mastering myself. Mm-hmm. Mastering self meaning how? How do you stay connected? How do you keep this peaceful inside? How do you do it? And you were talking about the five jobs and wanting to be busy. One of my big problems was if I wasn't productive, in my own head, if I wasn't doing something all the time, then I didn't feel good about myself. I didn't feel I was doing anything constructive. I didn't feel productive. I felt like I was lazy. You name it. And so for me, mastering the ability to sit on my ass Friday, Saturday, Sunday and do nothing. Maybe I watch TV, maybe I watch football, whatever, but do nothing. For me, that was an accomplishment, and still feel good about myself. And don't think that it happens overnight. What I want to let my listeners know is none of this stuff happens overnight. It's a process. It's like, you know, planting a rose bush, and the rose bush blooms. You don't sit there and start screaming, bloom, 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 rose bush.
Right.
So it's the same type of thing, and being patient and love yourself and being patient with the process, with the journey. Same thing as a baby, you know, the baby's born, you don't, okay, hurry up and start walking, hurry up and grow some teeth, and
right.
Hurry up and start learning to dress and all that kind of stuff. So for me, mastering self is the number one, and having the ability to be okay with where I am, with what I'm doing, what I'm not doing. That, for me, is really big. We have somebody that's on the line, and I think I know who this person is. Hold on a second. Let me see. Hello, you're live with wrong button. Hello, you're live with Reality Spirituality. Is this who I think it is?
Hi, it's Tina. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Oh, hi, Tina. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Do you have a question or a comment, a question?
It was very interesting listening to you. I didn't know if you guys are doing readings, but I'm listening.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad that you're listening, and welcome to the show, and keep on listening, Tina, because I love me some New Jersey people. New Jersey in the house. Okay. So, Karen.
Yes.
Where were we? No, where was I? I was on a roll. So tell me your thoughts about this, and I'm just asking because, like I said, we're all different. Your thoughts about doing something Saturday and Sunday and wanting to stay busy. Is it possible for you to sit and do nothing for 30 days?
I'd love to try someday. No.
I'm just throwing it out for conversation.
I do have the ability to be a complete and total slug. And that's where the exercise component became the challenge, because that would have been slug time. And so for me, I can actually sit down, put my feet up, watch an entire movie and not budge the entire time, and just sit and enjoy that being curled up under a blanket and just being lazy. So I do know how to indulge my inner lazy. I probably could do it more. I probably do it, I did it yesterday a lot. But it's one of those things that I use that time, kind of the inner lazy person, and I use that word funny, not literally lazy, that person who takes care of me that just sits and enjoys watching repeats of Friends or things like that, having the control of the remote myself and just sitting there for literally 2 or 3 hours and thoroughly enjoying every moment of it. And really, I don't feel guilty when I do that because I figure I've worked hard enough during the week. So, again, that's not lazy. That's me indulging in just being quiet and feeding me. And I think that's part of the balance. So I do have the ability to do that. You talked about how, you know, people, you know, how do we do this? How do we make these things happen? The rose, we don't just look at it and tell it to bloom and those kind of things, how we're patient for those things. If you look at people in general, the thing that we're not patient about is anything that has to do with us. Everything outside of us, we will be patient. We recognize that it takes time, on and on and on. But if it's something that we want or something about us, but we want it, right doggone now. Kind of an interesting concept.
I would also add, you're absolutely right, of course, want it right now, but I would also add that for me, I'm speaking for me, I wasn't patient with other people either. I was not only not patient with myself, but I definitely wasn't patient with somebody else, especially if they were slow. Hell no. If you're slow, no thank you. So, this, you know, what I like to share with my listeners is I was not born feeling being impatient. I was not born, and when I say born, I mean, let's talk about one-year-old, two-year-old, three-year-olds. I never had the concept of I have to stay busy or dot, 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 or I'll feel a certain way about myself, or I have to be productive or else I'll feel a certain way. I have to achieve this or else I'll feel a certain way about myself. And that's what I am doing right now in this part of my life, which is getting rid of, discarding all of these ways that I used to think. And let me tell you something. If somebody labeled me lazy, it would put me, I would be ready to jump off the roof. And now
right.
I embrace it. And not only that, hell yes, I'm lazy, and I'm proud of it. So it's a totally different switching perspective, changing my mind of how I feel about me.
Right.
How I feel about me, not about what society says I'm doing. It's really not. It's about how I feel about me. And for me, that is the hardest thing for me to switch, switch those perspectives. That is my greatest, oh my goodness. Woo-wee. even if I am overweight, quote unquote, even if I haven't been exercising, even if I haven't done anything productive but just watch football all day, I still have to feel good about me. And so that is my journey, because I want to, this is my definition. I'm going off on a little tangent here, but that's okay, because I feel good about me. Is I want to look in the mirror and be okay with and be happy and be content with what I'm doing and what I'm not doing. Because quite frankly, this is not my plan. This is not my setup. Because if it was really my setup, a lot of things that happened to me, I wouldn't have chosen. I wouldn't have set it up like that. So I already know that I'm on this ride, on this journey. I'm in the back seat. The universe is driving. And I already know that it's their plan. And I'm here for the ride. And how can I enjoy the ride? Well, that means looking in the mirror and enjoying who I am, where I am, regardless of what I think or I, you know, should. That's another word I don't use. But anyway, enough of that ranting. We have someone else that looks like they want to talk or say something right on the line, another caller. Hold on a second. Let me push the right button. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. What is your first name?
Good morning, Rebecca. It's Jay calling from Canada. How's it going?
Hey, you're in Canada now, Jay. What's up?
I've always been in Canada. I just got a Hawaiian name and always in Canada. Thanks.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you were in Hawaii. Okay, well, there we go. Learn something new. So tell me what's going on, Jay.
I have a question, actually, for Karen.
Okay.
Hello, Karen. Good morning.
Hi, Jay.
Hey there. Good morning. I just wondered, is there a balance between spiritual knowledge and spiritual practice? Just wonder what your opinion about that is.
There is a balance, and everything in life needs to have a balance. Spiritual knowledge is when you're going out and you're reading and you're learning, and then some days you just have to put the book down and do it.
Hmm.
And that's where you keep the balance, is recognizing that you can read and read and read, which is awesome. But until you start living it and practicing it, you're not going to balance out the knowledge of it. So I always encourage people when they tell me so many times, I've read this book and I've looked at this online and I've done this and that, I say, that is awesome. Now, step away from that and go out and be it.
Hmm.
I love that.
That's so cool. That's wondered also is that from your experience.
Oh, wait a minute, Jay. So I want to hear from you. What is the last time that you bead different? I know bead different. When is the last time you were different than maybe you used to be?
Probably about January when I started my yoga practice, actually.
So how were you? What were you before, and how did you change?
Oh, I started going more in depth, just continuing practicing the meditations that go along with it.
Okay.
Yeah, and so right now, just just taking a break because my knee was actually acting up a bit. So it was nice to do that actually and get back on it again. So you're really right about taking those breaks too. So.
Well, I'm actually asking something a little bit different. I'm actually asking, how have you changed inside? How have you changed inside?
I'm more of a practicer, so if I'm practicing ceremony or your meditation, I go with the less books and things like that. Because I always hear, the knowledge and, answers always within you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I hear that actually more often than usual than the working with the knowledge and studying or taking workshops and things like that. So I just do that more than actually picking up a book and reading it and going like, oh well, we're talking about the same thing.
Right. But still, you still haven't answered my question. Inside, so how are you different inside?
More peaceful.
More peaceful?
Yeah, more relaxed.
I love that. See, you see, that's, yeah, I love that. More peaceful and more relaxed. For me, it's more peaceful and more relaxed when there's lightning and where there's fireworks and when there's a big chaos all around me. The more the chaos around me, I say, use the word chaos, whatever it is, more around me, the more peaceful I become. That's what I'm exactly what I'm talking about, Jay. Thank you for that. Okay, and thank you so much for contributing, and it's so always good to hear your voice, Jay, from Canada.
Thank you,
Karen.
Jay. Yes, ma'am.
So I'm going to ask you the same question.
Okay.
How are you, and nothing outside, how are you different from the inside than you were, say, 6 months ago specifically? And I love what you said earlier about basically we're saying is walking the walk.
Right.
We all know these concepts, but in our everyday life, walking the walk. And what does that mean? One of the things that I test myself, I'm testing, is what makes me angry. And believe me, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, I was angry if the freaking wind blew the wrong way. And I was angry if someone said something to me. And I was angry. I mean, come on. I mean, when I say angry, I mean getting irritated, annoyed. And
right.
What I found is, for me, it just, it's almost doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
I mean, so rare. And I'm in contact with a lot of people all day long. So, for you, how are you different?
For me, what it has done more than anything, and this, I would say, goes back 2.5 years. This isn't even just the last 6 months. But the last 2.5 years, and in particular the last 6 months, there's just so much more peace. And there's not the level of agitation. I'm going to break it down into two snippets here. Prior to 6 months ago, it was more peaceful, calm, you know, not irritated, not agitated, those kinds of things like you described, but just for the most part enjoying life and living in the moment. And living in the moment, you have to have some level of peacefulness inside of you to live in the moment. Otherwise, that's where all the other stuff starts to come in. Well, looking at how that went about 6 months ago, one of the things that I added to it was more confidence, more voice, more speaking the things that were on my mind to other people. Let's say there was a situation where, you know, I had somebody that I was interacting with at the boot camp and I didn't like where it went. Prior to 6 months ago, I'd have just said, okay, they're in that space for the day. That's their issue. This is mine. I'm just going to put this aside. What I started doing about 6 months ago, which I have really enjoyed and has been a huge stepping stone for me, is sitting and saying, I'm not okay with how that went. This is what I heard you say, and this is how it affected me. And so taking that power, interpersonal relationships in my life has been very dramatic for me in empowerment to me as a person. And taking this journey to the next level for how to interact in difficult situations.
Ooh-wee! See, that's what I'm trying to talk about here. That's what I want
to
real life everyday stuff.
Yep.
That's what I'm talking
cool.
about. How interesting. And again, everyone's different. So for you, and I don't know. So you're saying that when things happen or people said something to you or did something, then you used to be a quiet type and just let it go. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, now we're getting to the nitty-gritty, Karen Pearson. Now we're getting to the nitty-gritty. Finally. Wow, it's so. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. because there are a lot of people with the same, I mean, there are a lot of people that can relate to that. Let's just say that. I am the person with the big mouth. I am that other person. I have no problem steamrolling anybody. I mean, what I used to do. And so it's so interesting because I've heard people say, you know, finding your voice and being, you know, wanting to speak up and wanting to empower myself and on and on. I've had to do the opposite. I've had to stop steamrolling. I had to stop with this big, with this roll people over my way or the highway type thing. And the reason why I had to stop it is because it didn't feel good to me anymore.
Right.
It doesn't feel good to me. But this dance that the people have with the big mouth person and the doormat person, you know, I'm just using labels.
Right.
It's an interesting dance that they both play. What I've just discovered, this is just the last 2 weeks, I have three people in my life that are, let's say, challenging, button pushers, really irritate me. Just three left. And what I've discovered is, because I believe that I create a peaceful relationship, my priority right now in my life is peace, internal and external. And I can create the peace internally. I want to start creating an outside peaceful environment. And so these three people have my number. And then I figured out, well, I didn't figure out, the universe helped me figure it out, that because the reason why it wasn't peaceful is, number one, I want something from them. I want them either to respond or act or get it or behave in a different way, number one. Number two, I have expectations of the relation. I have expectations of how I want things to go. Number three, I have an agenda. And I'm not talking to, now my agenda is only to create peace. So when I got rid of these expectations, wanting something from someone else, and this agenda, and when I say wanting something, I mean, I want you to stop being so cheap. I want you to stop being so sensitive. I want you to stop being so moody. I want you to stop. I want you to get this. That kind of thing.
Right.
When I take that away, I can have a peaceful relationship, even with these
right.
three button pushers.
Right.
That was a big one for me just this week.
Because you want them to do it your way so that your life doesn't get out of balance.
Yes, and the thing is, there's nothing outside of me that balances me anyway.
Right. So
who knew that? I didn't know that.
Everybody needs to know that.
That's right. And it came down to the relationships that I do have a lot of peace in the relationship, and my son is one of them. And it's only because I don't want anything from him. I don't have any agendas with him. I don't have any expectations from him, absolutely zero. And so the relationship is very peaceful.
Right.
And that's what I've learned, to create peace in all of my relationships. I can't want anybody to do anything, say anything different, or be any different. I have to accept them exactly the way they are.
Right.
Are we just going to keep saying right the whole time? Because we are both right, aren't we?
Well, it's interesting because you point out, you know, you're one side of the spectrum in communication. I'm the other side of the spectrum in communication, yet both of us are working back to that center point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that goes hand in hand with working towards balance. Something that you commented on earlier that the listeners are going to say, well, okay, that's all fine and dandy, but how do I do that? How do I, you know, connect to me and do those things? And what I have discovered over time that I hope everybody will hear is that you're never done. So you can set goals, and it's wonderful and amazing to set goals and move forward towards things. But people, when they set goals and achieve that goal, and they recognize that they're still not quite where they want to be, they go, well, what happened? Life is a constant journey. You are always on your path. There'll be little forks in the road, but the way to do it is always one step at a time, whatever that step is, because you can achieve a goal. You can get your dream job. You can get your dream partner. You can have a wonderful trip that you want to take. But once those things have been achieved, you can't stop. You're always growing and always learning and always moving forward. And so don't be disappointed when you get whatever, we're going to go with the dream job. Don't be disappointed when you get the dream job and still have stress in your life. Because then I see people who think they did something wrong. And no, you didn't do anything wrong. You set a goal. You achieved it. Now where are you going? It's always forward motion. Be happy that you're never done, because that means there's always new people to meet and always new things to experience and ways to grow and power and knowledge and experiences. Don't ever want to be done.
That's so important. That's such an important point. And no one taught me that this is a constant evolution, constantly growing, constant changing, constant being just it's a journey. No one said it's a journey, not a destination.
Right.
I love you. Thank you so much for bringing that up. You're right. We, you know, these concepts for me, the concepts that I had, who taught me that, you know, even the goals, No. You know, my goal is, I'm even discarding goals. You know what my goal is? My goal is to be more at peace with myself. That's my only goal. That's it. I don't have any other goals. Absolutely zero. We have one caller, and look at the time. Oh, my goodness. Hold on a second. Let me see if this is the person who I think it is, and you know who I think it is. Let's see. Good morning. You're on Live with Reality Spirituality. Is this Malou?
Yes, it is.
Skip to Malou, my darling.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Really, really early. I don't normally wake up this early, but I did for this show.
I'm the afternoon,
evening person here out here in Billings.
Do you have anything that you're experiencing now that you need input on?
You know what's really neat is that there's a lot of points that I was like, wow, that really jives with my life. Like, first off, like going back to a topic just a few 20, 30 minutes ago, like being lazy. I have such a busy work schedule that, I mean, I know that last night I went to some coworker's function and she was like, stay. I was like, you know what? I just came out to say a hi. And I was just like, oh, I'm so tired. And like this morning I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do anything. So I thought that was really neat that you guys had touched up on that subject. And that's all I had to say about that. Other topics were just how both of you, what I thought was really neat is how you guys both had said that we're on different ends of the communication spectrum, but yet are still trying to work towards that middle ground of inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what my, one of my journeys is like finding inner middle peace, because I'm much like Rebecca where, like you had said, if the wind blew the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
I'd be irritated.
Mm-hmm.
And so how I met Rebecca was I used to be her producer 2 years ago. And she really helped me find that middle ground of acceptance and having the universe just take that control. And I think that I found a lot of spiritual inner peace when I started just letting the universe take control and And I think that how I met Karen was she had said something along the lines of I met Karen through work, and how I ended up wanting you guys to meet was Karen had said, just let the universe take control. I said, oh my goodness. I said, Rebecca and Karen have to meet. And here you are, like, you know, about a month or less later on each other's show. And I was like, wow, that's
crazy.
Just neat. And the one thing that I wanted to chime in on is Karen, you just nailed it on top of the head when you said, you could have your dream job, but still feel like you did something wrong, because I'm in my dream career. For eight mm-hmm. years, I've worked towards being on air. I'm not the greatest at it like my friends in Seattle, but nonetheless, it's a stepping stone towards making it back in Seattle. And, you know, I'm having a blast here. I love Billings, Montana, where I'm currently residing and am on air. It was just like chilling when you had said, you know, you could think that you're doing something wrong when you're in your dream career because you're stressed. And there are times in my job where a lot of my other coworkers' mistakes just, you know, due to human nature. And I know that I'm human, I make mistakes too. But there were times where I would really just think, am I doing the right career? And I was just like, no, I've worked for 8 years, so that's just really neat that you would.
Well,
let me
jump in and thank you so much for because we're coming to the end of the hour. We only have a few minutes left.
Right.
Thank you for calling, and thank you for waking up even though you're tired.
Of course.
This is, you said about anger, because it's really, really important. The dream job, the anger, whatever. It's never anything outside of you. The dream job has nothing to do with how you feel inside at all. It's never external, never. And this anger about, I'm just talking about myself, when I would get angry at people or someone pissed me off, that's impossible. It's impossible. No one can do anything to you. I was pissed off before this person said or did whatever they did. It's nothing to do with anybody else. It has nothing to do with anything else. It has something to do with an internal temperature gauge.
Okay.
And it's so many times I would blame and point the finger at someone else, or what you said, or what you did, or what you didn't do, or where I am in my job, or what I'm not making money, or whatever. It's never about that. It's never about the goals. It's never about the accomplishments. It's never about anything outside of yourself. Woof, boy, am I tired.
Well, and I think you put in there too, Rebecca, that when you're looking at strong negative emotions like anger, things like that, anger is always a cue to me that I have to look internally, because it's my issue.
That's right.
If it's anger, I have to own it. Nobody did that. I choose my own emotions.
And not only anger, hurt my feelings. I was offended. Oh, I'm offended. Offended? You cannot be offended unless you believe what the other person is saying about you.
Right. So, 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 so true. And you don't have to buy into that. Everybody needs to do their own, what I like to call, mirror work. And that is get to know yourself. If you refuse to look at yourself in the mirror, how do you expect anybody to get to know you? You can't even answer things about yourself if you don't know who you are.
That's right. That's right. And who we that is discovering who am I really, as opposed to who I grew up to be or where the environment that I was in, and now I'm this person because of what my mother or my father wanted or what society wanted. Or yes, you're absolutely right. Who am I? I'm a hippie. I'm a lazy hippie. So there. With a radio show.
With a radio show. And one of the things that we're going to tell everybody today is to tell them that even though things have happened in your life and happened in the past, is there one single solitary thing that you can do to go back and change it? There is only one answer. No, you cannot change it. What are you going to do from today forward?
That's right. Every moment is fresh, every moment is new, and the only moments are the moments right now. Yesterday doesn't even exist. Tomorrow, are you kidding me? It's only a moment. And every day you have every moment is new. Forget about what happened 2 hours ago. Every moment is new. Jesus, Karen Pearson, I love this show, and I love you on the show. Tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me on Facebook, and it's A Life Unwritten, and I like to post little blogs that I do on there and helpful things that I put there. We are working on diligently trying to get The World Needs You Now, Not When You're Perfect, out there to more seminars in different cities, and so we're currently working on that. So as that schedule comes up, that will be on A Life Unwritten's Facebook page. And with any luck at all, the Facebook or the website will be up by the end of the year. I do have a wonderful tagline that I like to use, and it's my little thing that I like to give to people, and it's, remember, life is a pace, not a race.
Ooh, yeah. And you're rhyming, too. I like the rhyming element.
You'll see that at the end of all of my blogs. Life is a pace, not a race.
Life is a pace, not a race. Well, I want to thank you so much, and thank you, Malou, for getting us together. And Malou, come on, it's the universe working through Malou. I'm not giving her any credit. Come on, please. So thank you so much.
I'm going to give her a little credit. No.
No. Okay, you know what? Let's give her a speck of credit. Just a speck.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you so much
for having me, Rebecca.
You're welcome. And thank you so much for being so open and especially honest and open with your life and what you've learned and your journey. Thank you so much for being on Reality Spirituality. And that's all the time we have in today's show. I want to thank everyone for listening. You know, Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you'd like more information on the coaching programs that I offer, you can visit my website at www.RebeccaNorrington.com, and you can go to the private sessions tab. If you'd like to receive my free monthly newsletter, send an email to info@RebeccaNorrington.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at R.L. Norrington. And if you've enjoyed the show, go to Facebook and go to Reality Spirituality and like Reality Spirituality. Until next time, until next Saturday, my dear audience, I would like you to remember, you are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving, you're always changing, you're always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind with yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. And let's connect again next week. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Love you all. Have a great week.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Get real.